Welcome to Kingdom Faith London podcast. We pray that as you listen to the Word of God, you will be built up, encouraged, inspired, that it will speak right into your situation as you listen.
Okay, well now we come to welcome Pastor Jonathan, who's going to bring the Word to us. Let's give him a huge welcome.
Okay. It was just great to hear Mike. He was sharing with the testimony, the story yesterday, just about he praying for this particular lady from Portugal, or she speaks Portuguese. And it was just great that God gave them some keys, some words of knowledge, and spoke over this particular lady. And she then, because God had already spoken, given keys, she gave her life to the Lord. And I think that's great. And I just believe that it's going to be one of so many other people who are going to come to the Lord because we just begin to look for the opportunity that God's going to give us. I believe that God is going to place people for us to love. And that love will be very, very different with each person. But within that, I believe God wants to give us keys to unlock people's lives, situations, circumstances that bring God right into that particular situation, that will bring change, transformation. I really believe God wants to keep it very simple for us. I do. I believe he wants us to love God with a passion. And that obviously is where Helena and I come from. That's our, you know, that's our background, to be passionate about God. But what God also wants us to do is to be passionate about the people that he puts into our world. And each one of you is in our world. And God wants me to be in whatever way that looks like. For me and you, that's the expression of God, that he wants me to love you guys. But also in the world that we live in, Farley Road is the street that I live in, that we begin to see God at work in those situations and circumstances. You know, we got a key for a house opposite, and we've not been there too long, but it's just to feed the cats while somebody was away. But we're saying, Lord, we've got the key. We've got the key into a home. And we now got opportunity, because we've got to give the key back at some point. They've got to come into our world. We've got to go into theirs. But it's the beginnings of something, I believe, that God is wanting to do. It's great, our street, because so many people do go to church, or they're very open to the things of the gospel. They are. They're open to talk about Jesus Christ. Several people go to Methodist churches, several other people go to the African types of churches, but they seem to be very open to the things of God, which is great. And again, we're not there to try and poach anybody to come to our church here. That's not what I believe this church is about. You know, God is calling us to be significant, and that's a word that he's given to us, significance. And I believe, you know, maybe we will be thousands. Maybe, as somebody said yesterday, that you just have 20 people who are millionaires in this church, and that becomes a significant outlet of the gospel of Jesus Christ through financial giving. I don't know what that looks like. I really don't. And I'm not going to pretend I do, what significance looks like for us. But God has purposely put us into the city. He hasn't put us into a community, in one of the communities around here. I believe God's placed you in those positions. So in Finsbury Park, we've got an amazing group of people now being the light in a place of quite a lot of darkness. As you heard, stabbings. You have drugs. You have the Finsbury Park mosque, that situation that, you know, that gentleman drove into some of the worshippers there. You know, but God wants to place people in all of these different situations and areas. Shepherd's Bush, you know, by the fire, we have, you know, Nathan and Naomi. That's where their small group meets. I don't believe there's coincidences about these things. because God is wanting to place us in places where we can become significant, whatever that looks like. But as we love God with a passion, looking for his purposes in our lives every day, looking for those keys to unlock the things in our own lives, but also when we are in people's worlds, we're having people around us. Lord, what's the key? What is there that we can bring them into a place where they're in a greater place to worship God than ever before? It's great. And, you know, it's great to welcome Kathy from Australia. And how long ago was it that you were at Rothy? Yeah, it was a long, long time. And it's just great to see you again. She's obviously visiting for a month or so. 6 weeks. And it's just great to have you amongst us. And, you know, we just really want to see Australia completely transformed as well. And, you know, we do. I mean, we praise God for Hillsong and C3 Networks and some of these other networks that have come from Australia, now being planted in this country too. They had a real move of God. And we are reaping some of those benefits even today in this country. And, you know, we just want to bless Australia because we just know that God is wanting to do significant things there too. And we just pray that God will give you keys to unlock the situations in your world, you know, in your own family, but also for the wider family that you're influencing at this time. You know, God does want us to be influencers. And it's quite funny, Evelina, I thought you were going to preach my sermon today. because I've going to also read from 1 Kings chapter 18. So I was just waiting for her, sort of saying, go on, girl. But there's just two stories that I just really want to believe I'm going to talk about today. I know I'm going to talk about today. And the first one is Elijah on Mount Carmel. This was a situation where you had a king called Ahab and his wife called Jezebel. And in this situation, Elijah had gone to Ahab and said, you know, you're not doing the things that God wants you to do. And so therefore, it's not going to rain for a period of time. And because of Elijah's courage, he ran away and he went and God hid him for about 3 years. And he was then fed by the widow when he got a little bit hungry and things. God was feeding him for a period of time. Then at the beginning of he was fed by a widow. And then God told him to go back and confront Ahab. And so that's what he did. And in this passage of scripture, it's where Elijah came again to Ahab, met Ahab for the first time for over 3 years. And Ahab had some worshippers of Baal, and Jezebel had some worshippers of the god that she would she worshipped, the Asherah worshippers. So they're at that time, there's about 850 worshippers of other gods that were very much connected to Ahab and his wife. And Elijah sort of said, okay, let's just put this to the test. Let's put God to the test. Your God, my God. And in this situation, in this story, Elijah said, okay, you go first. I'm kind. You go first. You set up an altar. And you kill an animal and put that animal on top of the altar. And then you call to your God to set fire to the altar. Normally in the priest, in the tradition, in the priesthood, you'd put some wood and you'd put fire to the wood. And that would then burn the sacrifice. And just sort of saying, okay, let's put God to the test here. If Baal's God, then you can call out to your God to light this fire. And they went out it, as you can read in this particular scripture. They went out it for several hours. They were called, then they, in verse 26, so they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. You can imagine the story, can't you? You know, I can imagine the Indian dances. But I'm not saying that was the case, but they were dancing around the altar, making a lot of noise. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is asleep and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until the blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." And there's obviously a crowd there. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seah of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it onto the offering of and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And then just going on, and obviously this was what Elena spoke to us about. It says in verse 43, "Go and look towards the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. 7 times Elijah said, "Go back." The 7th time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is raising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariots and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew dark with cloud. The wind rose and heavy rain started to falling. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. I just want you to go now to the story of Daniel. Because again, I just really believe God wants to show us something today about who he is. And this is in Daniel chapter 3 about the 3 gentlemen who refused to bow down to the altar that Nebuchadnezzar had built. And again, I'm just going to read quite a bit of chapter to you. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubes high and 6 cubes wide. And that's quite high. It's about 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. So this is not something small that you can put on the mantelpiece. He then summoned, in verse 2, the satraps, the prefects, the governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provisional officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So they all came. And they all, when the horn, flute, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And that's what they did. And when all of these musical instruments started to play, everybody bowed down to this huge altar of gold. But then, obviously, when sometimes when men of God, women of God, are just doing what they're meant to be doing, they're not doing anything fancy. They're not putting a billboard on themselves saying, look at me, I'm a Christian. But they're just being who they are. They're just being God-fearers, people who love God and just getting on with life. And people got jealous of that. And it says that they, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, etc., etc., and whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews who you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you. Your majesty, they neither serve your God nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the images of gold I've set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, etc., etc., please bow down as I've instructed. But then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 16 replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took the 3 guys to the fire. And they died in that. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 24, leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, weren't the 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and all the officials gathered around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed the bodies, nor was the hair of the head singed. The robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any other god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of these guys be cut into pieces. That's quite nice, isn't it? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I just, you know, read those things because I just felt that it was important that in the situations that we're facing, that we all understand that the God that we serve is mighty. The God that we serve is mighty. And he is wanting not just to leave us on our own in the situations or circumstances that we're facing, but he wants to be there right with us. And we can trust that when we are in the right place and the right position with God, then he will, like Elijah, we can say, no, our God is going to do what he has promised that he's going to do. He's a faithful God. And he's not going to do things that he's, you know, if he's promised it, he's going to do it. Now, we've got to understand what those promises are concerning our own lives. You know, if God sort of, if I've heard that I'm going to be a multimillionaire by tomorrow, what would you think about that? Okay, I don't know if that's true or not. But if God says to me that I'm going to supply all your needs for tomorrow, then we all could sort of say, yeah, I can agree on that one. Why? Because it's what the word says. And when God says something in the word of, in his word, then we can take it as, yes, that's right. That's true. So I can stand on that no matter what comes against us. No matter what the opposition is, you know, Elijah, even after this amazing testimony of God coming and setting fire to this altar, he actually Jezebel said some words and actually he went. And then God said, what are you doing, man of God? You're in the wrong place. If you look at in the next scripture, you're in the wrong place. I just believe God's saying for some of you, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place with God. First and foremost, with God. And it's just like, no, I want you to come back to where you know that you're meant to be with me so that I can then bring that defense. I can set fire to whatever is coming against you. And it's not that we're suddenly going to see fires lit all over the place. But I believe spiritually we're going to see some fire set ablaze. Just like, you know, there were some keys into that lady's life that Mikey spoke into and had the blessing to bring to the Lord. I believe God is going to release things into our situations, our circumstances, where spiritually speaking, he will set fire to things that will burn up the enemy's tactics, the Baals, and the things that are false in our lives or our situations or around us. You know, in Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, it was just like, you know, it wasn't that suddenly Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, God sort of said, okay, guys, you don't have to go through that. You don't have to go through that difficulty. You don't have to go through those circumstances. But no, God didn't say that. And, you know, these guys who were just living their lives, serving God, but not allowing themselves to be defiled by anything that is against the word of God. They were thrown into the fire, but then the angel of the Lord, it says, came and joined them in the fire. And no harm went on the three guys. They were called out and actually then they got promoted. I believe, you know, I know obviously several situations here where it's like you're going through the fire. And I just really believe God saying that actually this story I'm bringing to you so that it can help you at this time. That no matter what you go through, if you keep me first in your life, as you keep seeking me first, that promise, that it doesn't matter, even if we die in this situation, we're not going to serve any false god. We're not going to come against the very word of God over our life, our situation, our circumstance. But in this situation, it was like God came in. He broke the bonds that and the bounds that were bounding the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was like God cut them, set them free. Jesus came, or the angel of the Lord came and walked in the fire with them. And when they were called out, there was no smoke on them. There was no singe. There was no harm, but they got promoted.
I like that.
Even though sometimes we go through difficulties, Daniel was the same. You know, Daniel, you know, we read in the story about the Daniel in the lion's den. Obviously, it's a story that we used to learn in Sunday school for those who went to Sunday school. You know, and it was a great story, you know, Daniel thrown into the lion's den. But, you know, when we understand the story, Daniel would not compromise. Daniel would not compromise. He knew what he believed. He knew what he understood from the scriptures that he knew about God. And he would not, you know, bow down to anything else. He would not compromise his own faith or his own walk, his own journey. He obviously got put into a den with lions, and God then shut the lions' mouths. And then he got promoted. So sometimes through the challenges of life, when we go through them, I believe God wants to come and burn up some of the enemy's tactics that are around the place. The Baals, the false gods, the false images, the false things that possibly could have come and infect us and become part of our world sometimes. Even though sometimes we don't want those things, they can actually begin to take root in our lives. That actually, God's sort of saying, I believe now, God's saying, no, I want you to come back to the narrow way. Because I want you to be a significant church, but that significance needs to be in the way that I'm speaking, the way I want you to be. I want you to be influential in this city, in the surrounding areas that you are living, where you are from. I want you to be influential. I don't want Baals. I don't want anything to be coming into your world that is false. I don't want false testimony. I want truth. I want truth. The lies sometimes of false religions that are out there. We just need people of truth. Where is truth? Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that, you know, yes, there's times where things do affect us. But when we get back in line with God's purpose, when we put ourselves in the places that God wants us to be, then it's like, okay, I'll do the fighting for you. Because the battle, according to scripture, the battle belongs to the Lord. But that doesn't mean that I don't have to take to the field of battle. Often David was going to fight the enemies that were coming against children of Israel. And, you know, several times you got to a situation where David was about to go to war, but then God had already gone before him. But the trumpet had gone out, the call for the people had gone out. Gideon, you know, he was hiding in a threshing floor when God spoke to him about these marauding gangs that were coming across the borders to come and attack the communities around Israel. And, you know, Gideon got this situation and he heard a message. And so he called all the men of Israel together, and half of them didn't want to fight. So God sort of said, no, I don't want them. And obviously, some of you know the story from these thousands of people. It went down to 300 people. And the cry of the God, there was a sound. There was a sound of Gideon where they smashed the jar. And they shouted with trumpets for the sword of the Lord and for Gideon. You know, God is on your case. No matter what and how difficult things may look at this moment in time, I believe that God has an answer for each and every one of them. I cannot tell you from here, and as your pastor of many of you, I can't tell you that it's suddenly going to be through a click of my finger, everything's going to be really nice and easy. I'm not telling you that there is not going to be times where it's like you're going to go through the fire. But what I can promise you, that if you keep your eyes on God, it will be like the angel of the Lord will be with you during those times. There will be times where we need to come and address the enemy directly, like Elijah. And that's where things like Prayer Academy are important for us as a church, so that we can begin to understand the power of prayer and how we are to come against the enemy. In because we're, again, scripture says we're not coming against people. We're coming against the spirit that is at work and operating within people. And so in the story of Elijah, there is going to be times where we will have to do battle. It's God's battle, remember, but we will have to come onto the field of battle. Elijah had to face his enemy. He had to be on the field, and then he had to do what God told him to do in that place. And then God did the rest, and then the enemy got defeated at that time, that those Baal worshippers. Now, there were still some kingpins that God had to remove at a different time in a different way. Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel, God dealt with them in a different way, in a different time. But he got rid of some of the people in that situation that were coming against the people of God. So there is times where we'll have to go on the battlefield. But God wants us to be assured that he will send his angel with us at those times. And then coming very quickly into the New Testament, and I've preached on this before in Ephesians chapter 6. And it talks about, you know, the armor of God. But there was just one thing that, you know, I just can't help being reminded of again and again and again. In Ephesians chapter 6. And this, I believe, God is just wanting to encourage us with. And it's just in verse 13 and 14. And it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, fitted feet of readiness with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. But just those words, stand firm. Now, you don't stand firm in who I am as a person. In myself, I'm weak. In myself, I sin. I grieve God at times. There's things that I do, the things that I say that are not sometimes helpful or not loving. They become critical or a little bit sometimes judgmental. I do that, and I apologize. I say sorry to God in those situations. Or, you know, sometimes if I'm affecting somebody else, then I have to say sorry to that person too. And that's why God wants us to be a family, so that we can be real with one another in those times. But also God wants us to understand that there's times where we've got to make sure that we're right with God, so that what we are standing on is standing on truth. We're standing on our amazing God, the God who brings fire down and actually brings and can destroy the enemy's activity that is surrounding us. He can bring exposure in situations and circumstances. Why am I believe God's telling, you know, Evelina's words about, you know, sometimes we pray and waiting for the cloud. I believe God wants to pour his rain out on upon us again and again and again. But I do believe that each one of us faces different challenges. And again, I'm not here to say that some of your challenges are going to go away. But what I do say, and you can read these things in the word of the scriptures yourself, just how sometimes when God takes the field, things change. And I, for one, am longing for God to take the field where he begins to act on our behalf more and more and more. But for me, I want to be in the right place. If you want to stand, please. Because I need to be in the right place. I need to be standing in the right place for God then to begin to act on my behalf. If he's been planning to do something in a particular situation and, you know, I'm off on my own thought and doing my own thing, it's like God's sort of saying, but I'm acting over here. And what may be God's priority may not be your priority. And so we've got to get into a situation and a circumstance where actually your priority, Lord, is the most important thing in my own heart and life. That's why I believe God wants to keep things very, very simple here. God first. God first. So Father, I ask you that in every one of our lives, you'll be first. That we will look to you first in the situations that we face. That even when opposition, whether it's bosses, whether it's whoever they may be, opposition can come in many different shapes, sizes. Can come through a letter, it can come through a phone call, it can come through or just a face-to-face encounter. Father, we just want you first. Lord, we want to be in the right place with you, not in the wrong place. We don't want to be somewhere in the desert when we're not meant to be in that place. God had to say to Elijah, what are you doing here? Because he wasn't meant to be there. He'd run away. Jonah as well. God had to say, what are you doing in this boat? You're not meant to be there. You're meant to be here. So for me, my priority, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm in the right place. With you. But also in every other situation that I'm facing. So just in your own words, just tell him, Lord, I want to be in that right place. If you're not sure, just sort of say, Lord, just continue to remind me that where I'm meant to be. Because that's when we can stand and stand firm. You can just say in your own words again, Lord, I just teach me how to stand firm in the situations that I face. Lord, I realize that I'm standing on your truth. I'm standing on the rock that is Jesus Christ. And so therefore I can stand firm. And Lord, whatever that fire at this time of Nebuchadnezzar represents, whatever's trying to get hold of us, whatever's trying to bind us, we just know that when we place Jesus first, that even if we are thrown into a fire, those things that bind us can be broken off in Jesus' name. And Lord, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I thank you that you, the angel of the Lord, was there with them. And Lord, I thank you that you send the angel of the Lord to us. As we stand for you, we stand for your purposes, we stand firm as believers of you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we're in the fire or close to the fire or see a fire on the horizon, Lord, as we stand with you, Father, I thank you that you send your angel. And Lord, I just thank you that sometimes as we take that field of battle, Lord, we know that we can depend upon you. And just like Elijah, against all that opposition, we just know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is as real today as he was in that situation, where you sent fire down onto that altar to burn up that sacrifice, to demonstrate who you are in that particular situation. Lord, I just hold every situation that every one of us has at this time before you. And I ask you, reveal yourself in each of these situations, I pray. Just see God come and bring transformation. Whether that's in your own life, that of others around you. But when God came, he burned everything up. He exposed the enemy and destroyed the enemy. Lord, please take the field of our lives again. Reveal yourself in each and every situation, I pray. Whether that's being healing, restoring, transforming. Your people, Lord, take the field, I pray, and burn up and destroy the enemy in Jesus' name.
We pray that the word today has really encouraged you, built you up, inspired you, spoken right into your situation. If you've got questions to anything that you've heard, or you'd like someone to talk to or to pray with you, then do contact us on our website, www.kingdomfaithlondon.com.